many choices are there?
There are many. I gave suggestions of Love Spire, Compelling, Come to Me.
These are all kind of like perfume titles?
They are essential oils, honey, that are a blend, and they can be used in order to bring that person to you and for him to, or her, okay, to feel the emotion that you are sending.
Gotcha.
Once you have dressed the candle, and there's a particular way of doing it, all right, you would hold the candle in the center,
mm-hmm.
and after you have put the essential oils on your power hand, that means if you're left-handed or right-handed,
mm-hmm.
you would put the essential oils in the first three fingers of your power hand. You would pick up the image candle, holding it in the center. I'll tell you about the center later. You're going to slide your hand from the center to the top of the head, from the center to the bottom of the feet. Then you're going to consecrate the image candle, first in your first and last name, and then in his first and last name.
Uh-huh.
Now, there are specific words. Those words would be, are you ready, Art?
I think so.
I consecrate thee in the name of your first and last name. Then you add, whatsoever I visualize shall be done to you. So be it. It is done. Now remember the center of the candle? Here's where we're going to have sympathetic magic. Let's get something that belongs and that is in with sympathy to the body of the person that you are working on.
A strand of their hair.
Correct.
Something.
A thread of their clothing.
Yeah.
And you are going to infuse it in the center of that wax figure that represents that person that is the subject. Once infused, now you have not only the imitative link, but the sympathetic link. You light the candle, and for those that are just starting out, I would recommend a half an hour to 45-minute meditation visualization. Now, let me stop for a minute. I would like you to take the two candles. The one that is representing you is going to be on the left-hand side. The one that is representing the subject is on the right-hand side. You're going to put them approximately 12 inches apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they are lit. And now you have started your meditation and your visualization. And this is where the development of the mind and the technique of visualization and the focusing your attention like a laser beam is most important. Because you are going to, in your mind's eye, create like a movie. And the action must come from the subject toward you.
Hmm.
Let's say you want that person to come to you more often, be with you more often. So what you're going to do is you're going to see him coming on a plane, on a train, on a boat. Any way he can get to you, he's got to get to you.
Right.
He needs you, he wants you, he desires you, he cannot live without you, he needs to touch you. He needs to be in your vibration, in your essence. You see where I'm going?
Yo-ho, yes.
Okay, after a half an hour to 45 minutes of always not feeling what you want to feel, how you feel toward that person, but how you want that person to respond and to act toward you. That's very important.
Mm-hmm. Isn't a person likely to overdo it? I mean, you gave us cautions there. You don't want to end up, you said, with a robot. But when you're visualizing a love and you have a passion and you, that's almost what you're going to wish, isn't it? It's almost what you're going to visualize. It's almost what you're going to project. Don't you have to be awfully careful? I mean, if you do it wrong, how wrong can it go?
You're not going to do it wrong, because if you're coming from love, if you're coming from spirit, if you're coming from essence and balance,
uh-huh.
then what you are going to say to that person is that when you come to me, there is safety, there is goodness, there is protection, there is understanding, there is humor. In other words, you're drawing that person to you because you care. because you know you love them and you want them to not have fear of being in love with you. So it's not going to go wrong unless you are forcing that individual.
Well, that's kind of where I was going. In other words, when you have unrequited love, when you are just absolutely passionately consumed by somebody, what you envision and what you wish is liable to be way over the top in terms of what you need to do, isn't it?
And if you're a good practitioner and you're going against and out of balance, you will succeed.
Well, right.
You will get that person. Will you be happy? No. Will that person be happy? No. Will you have karmic payback? Yes.
But you can do it.
But you can do it.
And I would think somebody in that position would very easily go overboard.
Yeah.
In general, with magic, Evelyn, how wrong, in the hands of somebody who doesn't know what they're doing or makes a very large mistake, how wrong can it go? In other words, how important it is it to really know what you're doing? Because it could potentially go totally wrong, right?
You can take a life.
You could take a life.
Yes. You can start a chain reaction that will feed upon itself, and you can actually cause that individual life's essence force to be destroyed. And that's the ultimate, isn't it?
In this life, yes.
So everything else would be superficial, but they can start at the bottom and work their way up and ultimately take the person's life force. You have to have balance. You have to have an understanding. You have to have a background. You've got to know what you're doing. And you've got to take responsibility for your action. You can't pass the buck.
Yeah.
You can't say the devil made me do it.
How was all of this knowledge, even the specific knowledge about, for example, how to get somebody attracted to you? I mean, that's the information you gave us is awfully specific. How in the world, and maybe you can't answer this, was this ever discovered and then passed on and taught through generations? How was this originally conceived?
I think it was through trial and error.
In other words, just look.
There are basic natural instincts that people are going to want to follow. And as they developed the knowledge of nature and the elements, they started using that in order to get their desires. That's what magic is, the manipulation of energy forces, vibrations, in order to achieve your desired results.
I was just wondering if there was some specific religion or order in the very ancient days that developed this in some way that you're aware of.
It goes back tens of thousands of years.
Yes. Yes. All right.
It predates the Etruscans and the Romans and the Egyptians. It has been found in ancient Mesopotamia. This has been around a long time, and it has been handed down from generation to generation, from culture to culture.
Let's cross the border one more time, white to black. With regard to black magic, this is David in Bullhead City, Arizona, who says, and this is one I really want you to answer, he says, black magic can only affect those who believe it's real. You believe it's phony, it can't touch you.
Magic works whether you believe it or not. It is the practitioner who makes it happen. You don't have to believe it. There is no distance.
He's taking this from voodoo, you know, where it is said that a person has to believe that evil can be done to them for it to be done to them, and if they don't believe it, then it's gone. It can't.
Well, not just voodoo art. You know, I'm going to tell you something. In early witchcraft, they used to have a saying: 60% of witchcraft is suggestibility.
Right.
But it's the other percentage you got to worry about.
And
for the practitioner like me, that's what you got to worry about.
There's no question about that. In other words, I could think you're phony as a $2.
Yeah, well, so did Yuri.
And it wouldn't make any difference. If you decided to come and get me, I would.
You're mine.
Yeah. How long have you been, I guess, all your life?
All of my life.
All of your life.
I have a heritage that dates back thousands of years. I'm a Tuscany witch, a Strega.
If somebody needs something done, Evelyn, would they be better off trying to learn the basics of how to do what they want done or coming to somebody of your caliber?
I prefer people to have the knowledge themselves. Once gained, they can use it in other areas.
Well, I hear you saying what you would prefer. I'm just saying that if you want something done, something big in business, or somebody who has wronged you, or, you know, it's going to be a major operation of some sort. Is this something an amateur really can tackle or not?
Most amateurs cannot. You will have to seek out a practitioner, and you have to seek out one that is trustworthy, one that has a background of balance in order to help you or to assist you. I still would recommend that the person learn how to protect themselves or how to learn the magic for themselves. Mm-hmm. Because I've heard horror stories, Art.
Like what?
Well, people have gone to, let's say, specific medicine men or shamans or witches that are going to perform a ritual for them. They have paid dearly, all right, and have not had anything taken care of. All they've been done is taken to the cleaners.
To the cleaners, yeah.
And so, therefore, when something that important, unless you really know someone, unless there is someone is going to give you someone of excellent reputation, I would prefer the person learn for themselves.
Well,
I don't do ritual for others because I haven't got enough nights in my life, okay, to do rituals.
All right, but if magic is as you suggest it is, and this powerful, and you can really cause people to take paths, for example, they would not otherwise take, then what about our leadership in this country? What about targeting political figures like the President of the United States, like the, oh yeah, whoever?
Well, that's always been done.
Has it?
Yeah, it's always been done. It's always been tried. It's always had magic as an influence. There is sometimes a succession because, remember, there is an opposing factor. But yeah, it has been used.
Well, I mean, if that's true, then it may be that our national policy, whatever it happens to be at the moment, is shaped by a force not inside the White House at all.
Well, there's always been a rumor that there is a governing body that is within the government that no one knows thereof. And
do you know anything about that?
Pardon me?
Do you know anything about that?
Let's say that there are many societies out there that have excellent hidden agendas, and they certainly practice magic. Very well practitioners, very proficient practitioners.
So you cite the rumor that there could be others actually pulling the strings. Do you?
Yes, from England to the Middle East to here in America.
Do you believe that to be true?
I believe that to be true. There is several societies. Art, let me tell you something. I have recently shut down an avenue that I was involved with for many, many years, and that was infiltration of secret societies. And because, let's say, the voice, all right, is a little bit too well known, I have now discontinued that aspect of me.
You were infiltrating secret societies?
I infiltrated secret societies and cults, yes. I've done that for more than 25 years.
Toward what end?
To find out what they were about and to let those in the know also be aware of what they were doing and what their existence was. How far they were taking it.
How much did you find? How much of that is going on?
A lot.
I mean, people imagine that, and we hear about conspiratorial groups and secret societies that pull strings and get things done, and you're saying, yes, they really are out there. And
they really do exist. And they do have their rituals, and they do have their meetings, and there are times, depending on who is sponsoring you, you may be privy to the fringe of it.
You're right about that. These societies are well known for having, I mean, just sort of being built on ritual, aren't they?
Yes, and they stem, they find their lineage, their heritage also dates back thousands upon thousands of years.
But you said you got out of it because your voice is so well known.
Yeah. All right. In other words, I tried to be as silent as I could.
Uh-huh.
All right, but the last one, let's just say there was a lot of danger there.
Oh.
And I had to remove myself.
Oh.
I can play incognito, and I have for a long time, and that's why there's not many pictures of me anywhere. But the voice was starting to give me away.
I had several people ask about photographs of you, and you're right. There aren't very many, are there?
No.
And
now there can be, because, like I said, I shut down that aspect. And sometime we'll talk about the Illuminati.
Oh, by all means, let's do that. Creatures of the night, indeed. That's what we are. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.